from Cap Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is becoming increasingly present in many aspects of our lives, from the longtime Siri, virtual assistant, or Alexa, to translation apps. Even when you do a basic search online, there's usually an AI summary right at the top. And the ethical use of artificial intelligence in journalism has been an ongoing topic of debate. From using tools to crunch data or improve audio to writing summaries and even generating new content. Recently, some of that controversy has emerged in the region at the Sacramento Bee. The newspaper rolled out a new content scaling agent powered by AI, which pulls from original stories created by the Bee's journalists, and it's drawing pushback from some within the paper's newsroom. Cap Radio Communities reporter Ruth Finch has been looking into this AI tool and just generally how artificial intelligence is being used by other newsrooms. Hey, Ruth.
Hi, Vicky. How's it going?
All right, so let's start off with the Sacramento Bee and lay some groundwork. What exactly is this AI scaling tool that the paper and other McClatchy papers, that's the parent company, that they're using? What exactly does it do?
So to McClatchy's credit, this is not the sort of thing where, say, a reporter interviews sources and a bot generates a story whole cloth from scratch. It focuses on creating summaries and shifting the focus or angle of pre-existing stories to cater to a different audience.
Okay, well, help us visualize what it looks like. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, so to give an example for a story that our newsroom has actually been following pretty closely, the deadly Esparto fireworks explosion, they put out an article detailing the new filings put forward by the Yolo County District Attorney with a note at the top saying story produced by AI assistants based on original work by a reporter.
Okay, so why did McClatchy decide to deploy this scaling tool?
Well, McClatchy didn't respond to any attempts to reach out, but according to Ariane Lang, an investigative reporter I talked to at the Bee, it seems to be increasing the volume of content on their website and to get clicks from other audiences that the story originally may not have catered to.
Okay, so if you are the reader taking this in, how are these stories identified on the website?
Well, as far as I'm aware, all stories that involve the use of AI are marked that they were produced with AI. Reporters do have the option to withhold their bylines, which is their name on the article. In those cases, the article will just note which editor the story was edited by. For reporters who choose to use their byline, it will say based on original work by and then list the reporter's name.
Yeah, and then story with AI assistance. So you did speak with the Sacramento Bee's News Guild, that is the union, about this new tool. How are the reporters there feeling about this use of AI?
Well, they are not too happy about it. Lang, the reporter I spoke with, is also the vice chair of the Sacramento Bee News Guild, which represents nearly all of the Bee's reporters. Those represented by the union have been withholding their bylines from the stories that use AI, which makes up a majority of the journalists in the newsroom.
I think there is something icky about taking a story that's already published and making a watered-down version geared toward gaining clicks from a specific audience. It feels a little exploitative.
So did this deployment of AI come as a surprise to them?
Well, not particularly. Reporters were able to withhold future bylines from stories before it came out really in full force. But when I talked with Lang, she believes that Bee and McClatchy are kind of just using AI for the sake of it.
We had a newsroom initiative where everyone had to have a goal related to AI. There's this idea that AI is the future, and AI means innovation, and there's not necessarily that much attention to whether it makes sense to use it in a given setting.
Okay, so there's just a little bit of the concerns. Let's dive in a little bit more. What are the main concerns that they have about using this tool?
Well, Link said that she and the other reporters at the Bee are worried about this influx of AI content ultimately affecting the traditional reporting they do as well, because all of the Bee's work, including what's put out by their AI tool, has to be edited by human editors.
It's going to affect the quality of the stories we care most about, because our editors will be even more swamped than they are now, because they'll be dealing with these new AI-generated stories. And our editors also won't have that much time to review the AI-generated stories, which we know because they don't always have a lot of time to edit our real stories.
Lang is also worried about how it may impact developing sources. As I mentioned, she works as an investigative reporter for the Bee. For example, she's documented every single traffic death on Sacramento's streets since 2024. When she reports on these stories, she said that she's usually talking to people she's never met and asking them about the worst day of their lives.
I will do my best to honor their loved one's life and to make sure that public officials are held to account for not doing more to prevent traffic deaths, but my employer might feed that story to a chatbot. That's revolting.
Okay, so really strong feelings from some of the reporters in the newsroom. But when it comes to reliability, how reliable is the AI content scaling tool?
Well, Lang said that it already has made mistakes. And when it does, she's seen the Bee have reporters correct the mistakes the AI tool has made.
Okay. So as I mentioned, the News Guild is one perspective. They're the union representing reporters. They see AI as a threat to its members. But what is McClatchy's stance?
So McClatchy did not directly respond to any of my calls or emails to their press contact. When I reached out to Chris Fusco, the executive editor at the Bee, he said he couldn't comment outside of what their AI policy says. I was curious about how the tool was built and if it was trained according to journalistic principles.
Okay, so what did you learn from their AI policy?
Well, their AI policy doesn't really mention the content scaling tool by name, nor how it was trained or who built it. It does say that they are transparent in their use of AI and that they use artificial intelligence to fill out story templates based on reporting from real people. They said that their content doesn't use the kind of technology that hallucinates or makes up information and presents it as fact. And as I mentioned, the work of AI is checked by human editors before being published.
Okay. I mean, and the reality is artificial intelligence is used by many newsrooms. What did you learn about the different ways AI is used?
Well, I spoke with the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters. Its flagship reporting tool is this thing called Digital Democracy, which is powered by AI. They've been developing the tool for over a decade to track legislative data going back years, from public comments, donations to politicians, every bill introduced. It's a custom-built search engine that is available to the public, providing relatively quick access to a really vast amount of information.
Yeah, I mean, we've used it, and we've had the people behind Digital Democracy on, and it is helpful. I mean, if you want to find a hearing, you know, from 2 years ago and a specific person during public comment, it makes it very easy to find instead of having to scour for, you know, potentially hours trying to find, you know, that moment. So how does this use of AI, Digital Democracy at CalMatters, how does that differ from McClatchy's?
Well, their AI is mostly just used to process data. They don't use AI to generate stories. In their words, it was created to increase transparency, accountability, and understanding about California state legislators and the decisions they make about state policy.
Okay, so where else does CalMatters think AI can be useful?
Well, I spoke with Neil Chase, the CEO at CalMatters. He gave me an example of some smaller newsrooms, think like a local paper with one or two reporters total, using it to generate code to build a tool that helps them monitor police scanners. It listens to the scanner and flags things that might prove to be important.
That seems like a useful tool, very different from, you know, publishing something final that is going to determine whether your audience trusts you or not.
So the difference between the kind of technology that, say, Digital Democracy uses and the kind that the Bee is using is that of generation. Basically, generative AI, like a ChatGPT or Claude, aims to emulate a real person talking as much as possible. These models are not really designed to give 100% accurate results. They're designed to feel like you're talking with a person. Digital Democracy is more what we would call assistive AI, essentially processing data in ways that'd be difficult for people to do. But I would say Neil Chase at CalMatters has cautious optimism about the future of generative AI, too.
I don't think we can just blindly use these tools, but I also don't think we can sit here and say, well, AI could never make an ethical decision about a story, or AI will never be able to do this or never be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it is evolving so quickly. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio reporter Ruth Finch about the different uses of artificial intelligence, or AI, in some newsrooms. Okay, so AI is at the center of so much ethical debate and is a topic of conversation on college campuses as well. You spoke with a journalism professor. What are his views on the growing use of AI in journalism?
Yeah, I spoke with George Podeshki, who teaches at Stanford, about AI and journalism. He talked to me about how, since these tools are built from a computer scientist's perspective for data accuracy, it just doesn't match up with what we strive for in journalism. He said that right now, it's just not possible for AI to make these ethical decisions.
For computer sciences, you know, accuracy rate over 80% is a fascinating, celebrated achievement. Journalism does not tolerate 80% of accuracy. Journalism is, verification-based, evidence-based, document-based profession. You know, AI systems have statistical pattern-based, you know, synthetic approach.
Podeshki and I talked about the tendency of AI to have an affirmation bias. Basically, AI can be a bit of a yes man, and that can get in the way of truth and accuracy.
Yeah, I mean, given that artificial intelligence is becoming more widespread, it is here. I mean, with all the people that you've talked to for this story, Ruth, I mean, did you get a better sense of what the future when it comes to the news industry, what it could look like?
Well, from those I spoke with, it seemed that the future lies in using these machines to process data and build custom tools to help reporters expand coverage beyond what they would normally have time to do. But not to use that as a substitute for news judgment, authorship, or credibility.
Yeah, and before I end the conversation, I think it's fair for us to talk about how we use AI in the newsroom. I mean, what does AI look like at Cap Radio, Ruth? Like, when does it come into your life as a reporter?
So the biggest thing I use it for is transcription. When I'm analyzing like a 20 or 30 minute long conversation, especially someone like myself who comes from more of a print digital background, recording and having everything laid out can be a really helpful tool to build a story from an interview. But it makes mistakes, like all the time. You have to constantly be aware of that. But it does save me from scrubbing back 10 times on a quote to make sure I've written it correctly. And again, we're talking about assistive AI, not generative AI.
Yeah, assistive AI is very different from generative AI. And as you said, like, we don't use it to shape a story, to craft questions, to even write a story. I mean, for Insight, we use transcription as well for turning a radio segment into a digital segment, into an article, because your point, it's a tool. It can transcribe that segment, but it does not replace like actual listening and hearing the context of what is being said. And especially if there are different accents or different languages being used, if a name isn't common, like that transcription tool isn't really going to pick it up. So you really have to listen to it in-depthly, but it does help when you're trying to get a quote. We also use another tool in our audio editing software. So if we have recorded a conversation for broadcast and maybe the audio is poor, like there's a lot of background noise, or maybe the Zoom connection is unstable, there is a tool within our editing software that helps clean that up to make it just better. The audio quality is better, but also nothing is perfect. Sometimes it can sound kind of mechanical, and I see you nodding because you've used it too. In those cases, we just scrub it, and then eventually we just go with what the original audio is. It may not be the quality that we want, but of course we want it to sound natural. So we use assistive AI, but not generative AI, as you laid out very well, Ruth.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your reporting. That is Cap Radio Communities reporter Ruth Finch. We've been talking about the different uses of artificial intelligence or AI in some newsrooms. Up next, after California voters legalized recreational marijuana back in 2016, there were many unknowns. Nearly a decade since it passed, we'll see if Prop 64 lived up to the hopes and concerns that surrounded it. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.